T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another week of the Launch Sequence Podcast. We got a hyped episode for you today. Server meshing is in testing. It's all kinds of good stuff. It's good stuff going around. And I've got my friend Hybrid V Audio, previous guest of the podcast and YouTube connoisseur. He watches your landings. He's looking at server meshing, and he's here to talk. Thank you so much for joining me today, man. How are you doing?
Doing good. And I'd say that server meshing is probably doing a solid 6 out of 10 on its landing. It's pulling the gear out a little bit early and could probably work on a little bit of the technique there, but it's definitely improving for sure.
I'm pumped that we can even say that. Like, it's... We're gonna get deep into the details today, folks. But like, this is a 7-year goal that they've had that a lot of people have. I mean, me myself included, are like, is this actually going to work? You know, there's always a little bit of hesitancy when you're talking about tech that might be working in other games, but this company specifically hasn't gotten it working, and we don't know where it's gonna go. So I think there's always been just a little bit of uncertainty, and just because it's working now doesn't mean we're in the clear, but. This is a big moment for the company, of course, but for, I think, a lot of people who were wondering when Star Citizen was going to start to reach its potential.
Yeah, I agree. I think probably one of the biggest things by far, I think it's like, it is by far the biggest thing that we've seen. Like, we've talked about like so many things, not just on the podcast here, of course, but like on our own individual channels and whatnot. We've talked about things like the different technology, like engineering or master modes, or cargo gameplay, all kinds of things that have been going on, right? We kind of pick up on that every so often. We're like, yeah, this is going to be cool. This is going to change X, Y, and Z. But the reality is that server meshing, I think, is the biggest one to change and really is going to change the overall, like, not necessarily the vision, but bring the game to the vision that Chris was talking about. Certainly one that I heard about when I first joined a long time ago.
The coffee cup in the forest.
Not even just the coffee cup in the forest, just in general, just the idea of like this living, breathing universe that you're supposed to exist in, right? Like right now, currently we have something like that, which is like probably why I, you know, kind of also went and did like a lot of the landing watching stuff, because I liked watching the life of Star Citizen ebb and flow in the background. And it's not as prevalent, even though it exists. There's a heartbeat of the universe existing right now with the current servers. You just don't really see it. And it's kind of hard to make it a little bit more tangible. Like, you don't really always see it because, one, the player counts aren't always there, and two, because the immersion tends to just like kind of break when the servers have issues. You know, you're watching people do like really cool like formation flying, and then all of a sudden they're lagging and teleporting everywhere, and there's all kinds of nonsense, right? So
the planet you're on turns inside out.
Exact, yeah, something weird happens. And but beyond just that alone, right, the stuff that we see in front of us, like the idea that you're going to be able to travel from one star system to another in a seamless, no loading screen system, transition in between, you're going to move cargo, that cargo is going to have some type of impact in that system that you're dropping supplies off, and that area is now going to prosper because of the stuff you gave them, and then players are going to come and do business. Like, there's this interconnectivity that the server meshing stuff brings to it that even I didn't think was ever going to actually show up in Star Citizen. Like, even when I first joined, I was like, they're probably never really going to achieve that. I don't think this is going to be a thing. I think they're going to dial it back. And then finally seeing it in game, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting point to talk about. It's like, a lot of people wanted them to dial it back. For the longest time, the commentary has been just ship a game, just get it out. Like, don't, if it's going to take this long to do this tech, then y'all are, you know, you're reinventing the wheel. You're doing too much. And there's definitely an argument to be made about what is too much and what is not. But I do wonder if now that it's starting to work and eventually we do get maybe to the reality you're talking about, would that time be justified for those people? Or is there still that same belief of like, this was just, this took too long. This was, they could have gone about this a different way and maybe not tried to do some kind of high fidelity, full persistent server meshed environment. Because a lot of people will tell you full persistence is a bad thing, right? That's too much for a game to handle. And it could lead to maybe not a great game, but a great tech demo. It's just a lot of commentary around the usefulness of server meshing. And I hope that we can get more into the depths of that during this discussion.
Agreed.
So before we get started, you know, some of our viewers might not have been around last time you were on the show. Maybe we could do a little introduction. How did you get into Star Citizen, and then more specifically making videos about Star Citizen?
Oh, goodness, that goes back. So Star Citizen initially actually got onto my radar as far back as 2013, I think late 2013, going into 2014. And I just heard it just basically casually mentioned by this YouTuber, the late, great Total Biscuit. You know, he was talking about Call of Duty Black Ops when it first came out. Okay, so that's telling you how far back
this
goes.
The first Black Ops?
The first Black Ops,
that's like 11, 2012?
Mm-hmm. So he was talking about, I think he was actually critiquing the graphics of it. And he was saying the graphics aren't as good. Like, it's not as cool as like something like Star Citizen. And I was like, huh, Star Citizen. You know, when you build a either a new beast rig or you upgrade your rig, the first thing you want to do is throw like the most graphically intense games at it. Mm-hmm. So I was already looking for targets, and he mentioned Star Citizen. And then I looked into the project. I didn't actually fully sign up until years later. And the reason why was because, there was already the idea that it's the biggest Kickstarter ever. It's got the most funding, but they still don't have quite a game yet. You know, it's already almost 3 years now into it, almost, you know, going on. So I was like, okay, I'll just hold off. I'll wait. I'll see how things are going. And I found other YouTubers covering it, like Salty Mike and Board Gamer, of course, you know, them. They were covering it.
Yeah.
And I was just living vicariously through them. And it wasn't until, like, I think 2016, I actually bit the bullet and actually bought a package. This was when 3.0 was already like about to jump in. I was like, this is probably the perfect time to jump in because we're going to have planetary landing. There's going to be cool things to do. Like, so that's when I got in. And then the entire time I was just playing a lot of the game, just enjoying it on and off, because if anybody, I don't know if you guys are they're new, like are newer to it or have been following for a long time. The game was playable was a really hard way to describe how the game was back then.
Bro. Oh my God.
You could load up the game, you can jump in, you can maybe party up with some friends, but to call it a game, oh, that's a hard stretch. For there was no persistence or anything like that.
People will call it a tech demo now, right? It is kind of a tech demo now. Back then.
Like, it's hard for me to describe like the current aspect of it being a tech demo because of the certain things that changed, right? Like I'll explain, but basically like when it was back in 2016 and prior to, and even when 3.0 dropped, yeah, you could probably definitely argue that's a tech demo. There was no progression system whatsoever. I mean, there's hardly one now, of course, but you couldn't like keep items you had with you, right? So for example, like prior to 3.0, you could go and do the ICC missions? It's been so long. Could do those missions. That was like the extent of what you could do. Maybe you can go out to some like wreck sites and you could find like an arrowhead sniper, the old arrowhead sniper. But the moment you logged out, that's all gone. You didn't have that anymore.
And you couldn't even buy or rent ships. That was so big. Yep. Like that was such strong fuel for the idea that it was, you know, it was like money hungry. It was a scam because it was like, the only way that you can do these things in the game is if you dish out hundreds of dollars for those ships.
Yep.
And that,
that was the critique a lot of people got because of that. Yeah, exactly. And, so I was following along with that on and off. I eventually like as 3.0 started to kind of like mature more, we got to 3.2, 3.3, 3.4. It started to really start to shape. It seemed like CAG was kind of like, they're still trying to find the identity of Star Citizen. Like they had started way back in 2012, 2011, something like that, you know, developing it, working on it, starting building modules. But I don't think the identity really took shape until after 3.0 when they finally sat down and were like, what do we actually want to make this game be about?
100%.
It's all about talking about it, but what is the actual putting the rubber to the road look like? So 3.0 comes out, and I think they were still, I mean, even to this day, there's still a lot of stuff they're probably still trying to find their footing on, but they were really trying to build an identity, and 3.0 is really where it started.
Yeah.
And that's where I got interested, and it wasn't until, like, you know, years of playing on and off here and there, around 2019, when I decided, like, there's a lot of new people jumping in and playing the game all of a sudden, but there's not really any good content out there that, in my opinion, is good enough explaining, like, the intricacies of, like, how to fly, or the individual like small sim aspects and how it makes flying difficult or easy or something like that. Right. So I think one of the first videos I did was talking about the heat mechanics in 3.5. Do you remember like the way where your ship would like overheat 2 minutes into flying in atmosphere?
Yeah.
And people were like completely like dumbfounded. They had no idea what was going on. And so I just looked into it. I just researched and I was like, oh, easy. It's just the thrusters are overheating in atmosphere because your thrusters are firing all the time. And so I created a video like that, and that video did relatively well for just being a completely unknown. And from then on, moved on and even got onto Cobra TV's podcast at one point.
Nice.
And, you know, he shouted out, and we got a lot of new followers through that. And then, yeah, just started creating new content. It just became easier as the years went on. It became easier to make more content for Star Citizen because the content was not only just coming in new gameplay mechanics and features and whatnot, but also just the game itself just expanded in scope and stuff like that. There was new players coming in, especially after 2020. We all know what happened in 2020. So there was tons and tons of new fish coming in, and there was people who were just eager to just consume any and all things Star Citizen. And I think also, we're going to see that again with the server meshing coming in eventually. I think that's definitely going to be a thing.
Elite Dangerous also. I think it was 21 that Elite Dangerous had a lot of players come over around that same time, and that really bumped up. It was like Elite Dangerous had a lot of players coming over. A lot of big YouTubers and folks like Jack Frag started to play the game and post about it. And there was just like a huge rush of people around that time. I remember that. I agree with you. I think before 3.0 felt kind of like their growing phase, figuring out what they wanted in the game. 3.0 up until now has felt kind of like we get our footing. Like you said, they got their footing. They wanted to lay down the foundation. And then 4.0, after 4.0, you know, it's a new era. You're saying, with server meshing, things start to change here.
Yeah, the sky's the limit for sure. Like, and back to the discussion about like the tech demo stuff, right? So a lot of people, like you said, will say that even currently now it's like a tech demo. But like, for example, a tech demo, you guys remember the Matrix tech demo for Unreal Engine, right?
I never played it. I saw that though. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was like a big tech demo where they were showing off Unreal Engine's ability to procedurally generate like cities and stuff like that all in real time with nice lighting effects and stuff like that. But there's no actual game there. And when 3.0 first came out, and even prior to that, like, I think there's a real strong argument you could say that the game was just a tech demo at that point, because there was no progression system, like zero, nothing. There was no persistence. There's no ability to buy things in game. There's nothing to work towards. Now, many would say that's still like that, but of course, obviously that's not true. There's many things you can still work towards now. Whether you could call it a fully fleshed out game or not, I think there's a better argument there, but calling it a tech demo is a little bit harder now because there's actually things you can work towards tangibly that you can actually hold on to. And people will say, well, we have wipes, I know, but Tarkov has wipes too. We don't call that a tech demo. So yep. That's my argument on that.
So going back to how you got into Star Citizen, I like that basically your introduction to this was, can it run Crysis? Because we're going back to the Crytek engine with Star Citizen anyway. So that's very cool. But do you remember the first time that you heard about server meshing?
You know, server mesh, like, I was not as involved with a lot of the development ins and outs of Star Citizen until I started doing more YouTube stuff, like post 2019, 2020 stuff. And that was, I wasn't even really like, cause I went to the CitizenCon in 2018 and I think they kind of like casually mentioned that that's what they want to do. They want to work towards. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I just went about, I want to see the new Valkyrie now. I wasn't really as plugged in, but when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, cool. Make it happen. But anyway, that's probably never going to happen anyway. Valkyrie. At the time I heard it and it went in one ear and out the other. And I think even now that's still what is happening with a lot of the player base, right? A lot of, whether they're new backers or even older backers, like a lot of them probably don't realize how significant server meshing is for everything that we're doing now currently. Right. So you first hear about it and then you're like, okay, cool. Anyway, new ship. And that's perfectly fine because everybody just wants to focus on what makes them currently like having fun in the game now, right? If you want to fly your saber and do bounties, that's probably more interesting to you than hearing about the DGS and the replication layers and the foodie floggities, you know, like,
just make it work.
Yeah. Just make it work. Make, you know, Space Wizard, please just make the game for me. But the reality is when you actually dig into it and then you actually see the tangible benefits that it brings to the game and you start to understand what that actually means for the game going forward, it's pretty crazy to think about. Even in some of the stuff that I've covered talking about it and talking about my experiences of the initial stuff that we've done in the testing in the past, I would get comments in the videos of people like, but other games have done this already. And it's like, yes, other games have done this in the past before. not at the scale of what Star Citizen is doing. Nobody is doing this at the scale of Star Citizen, right? A common one people had brought up was like a game called World War II Online, which has been existing since the early 2000s. It's a very, very old game. I even played it myself back in the day. And that game has, I think it's something like over 30 square kilometers of gameplay area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive. Like it's like 30,000. I'm probably getting the numbers wrong there. Mix up 30, 36,000, something like that. It's a large number, granted. But it's a large number of just players running around as like little soldiers and as in vehicles. And that's pretty much it. Also, there's a little bit of calculations as well for like projectiles and stuff. Star Citizen is doing way beyond anything that is, not only in terms of scale, but in terms of scope too. It's no longer just really you're trying to track a little soldier shooting bullets across like a field like in World War II Online. It's not even anything like that. You also have to track that guy's water bottle that he's carrying on him, right? The grenades, the ammo that he's carrying with him. He could be on an Idris fighting 30 other players on that Idris. Now they're all carrying little water bottles and Pico plushies, and all that has to be tracked on the server and not break the immersion at the same time. And then while they're doing that, they're also traveling at a bajillion miles an hour towards, you know, Hurston or something like that. And now they have to transition between servers while they're on their own individual server. There's like, it's mind-boggling the stuff that CAG is planning to do with this. And yeah, like the scale, like people will talk about EVE Online has meshing as well too, but again, the scale is just completely insurmountable. It's just insane.
There's also, for those who are a little bit newer to these concepts, or maybe Star Citizen as a whole, there are two distinct versions of server meshing that they're working on. First is static server meshing. That's what we're testing right now. This is, you have a set server, covers a set amount of space, that's it. Dynamic server meshing and the following part of it, which they kind of they've coined the term simulation islands, I think, is the idea that a server, let's say that the system we're in right now, Stanton spawns as one server. Nobody's in there. 100 people spawn in suddenly, 20 of them are at Crusader, the other 80 are in R Corp. Three servers get spun up. One at Crusader, two splitting up R Corp. As the people move away from R Corp, those two servers sort of expand, and eventually maybe the game decides, hey, one server can handle this, groups those two servers together, and all those players are in one server in the R Corp system. But let's say 200 more players spawn in at R Corp again. Well, okay, let's take those people who are in orbit over R Corp and put them in their own server, put the people in R Corp in their own server, and the one on R Corp will expand as those people move around the planet. So you've got three different servers in different parts of the system controlling different players, all communicating to each other, and resizing dynamically to take in more players if they need to. That's never been done. Static server meshing, yeah. But that's the real holy grail that they're shooting for, that I guess we'll talk about today, you know, what you think is the timeline for that, because that's just another step. And not to say that they're just going to keep moving the goalposts. Dynamic server meshing has always been the end goal. But static is very impressive too. I mean, we're about to get deep into that, but even just the performance improvements that we can hear from it, from what I'm hearing, are incredible. Let's actually talk about it, because you've been doing the tests. I haven't personally been able to get in yet, but you've been running tests over the last few weeks. What are your first impressions of the static server meshing that we're seeing right now?
The first impressions are, well, it surprised me that like in the initial testings they did, especially for like the Evocati stuff. And again, folks, if you're not already aware, Evocati are allowed to talk about this. We just can't show stuff. So Evocati, also as a refresher for anybody who's not aware, Evocati are just the elite cadre of testers, of players that can get access to early builds and provide early feedback. And those builds tend to be very, very rough. You guys already seen like PTU builds and live builds. Evocati builds tend to be way worse. And to my understanding, also the dev builds are even far worse than that. And so my initial expectations when I first saw the initial server meshing tests was that it was just all going to fall apart. It was going to be terrible. And I was genuinely surprised that it was actually working. To a degree, of course, there's still issues. But when we saw the replication layer tests, when we saw like a server go down and then it recovered, albeit it took a while to recover. And I think, you know, they definitely got to do more room to work on that and improve that.
Yeah.
I think that it was still really cool to not just get booted back to the menu. Like, I hate that so much about the current setup, right? you're doing something, you're hanging out with your friends or whatever, you're out in the verse, you know, doing your thing, and then all of a sudden 30k, like everything stops working, everybody's like 30k in the chat, 30k, and then everything just dies, and then you're back to the menu, and then you got to load back in, then you got to go get your ship again. Oh, I hate that so much. We've been dealing with that for years now, essentially. And they've gotten better at like kind of adding little like band-aid fixes here and there, like the ability to like recall your ship, you know, without losing it permanently and losing all your cargo, things like that. Well and good, but like to the ability to see like the replication actually at replication layer hard at work, actually getting your ship back, like everything where you're at, you know, where it stands and get it right back where you were and just like as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
It's cool. That not is, perfect, but it's cool.
That is, it's really freaking cool. I mean, I don't know how other games handle this. I'm sure there are plenty of systems other games have that have crash redundancy. When I crash in a game and I complain about it, there's definitely a good chance that that is one out of five crashes I've actually noticed. And like they had some kind of system in the background to keep up with it. But for people who are playing Star Citizen, that's not been a reality. And for a game where most of the complaints are surrounding stability, that is a massive change that you're not going to crash out from the server anymore. If anything, you're going to basically keep playing. I mean, that's the idea, right? Is that replication layer maintains the game while a server spins up and takes over and you're good to go again.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the times to spool up the replication layer and getting things back up and running, not perfect, but of course they need all the data they can get so they can start to work and address those issues. And then in the later tests, like the ones we're seeing this weekend, right, currently right now, they are doing like a bunch of different servers connected together and connecting all the individual like small moons and stuff. That has actually been a little bit more rougher than the previous tests because now they're like, they are, I think CIG is very confident with what they have. Mm-hmm. And they're like, let's open the taps. Let's break it because we obviously didn't before. Like there wasn't as many problems as we thought. So let's open the taps. And the initial test when I first got in, I think it was on Friday. I had like no issues. I got in. Although the moment I left, I think I started at Area 18. The moment I left, my ship disappeared underneath me. My ship just completely disappeared as soon as I quantumed out of the area. Yeah, exactly. We're all used to that already. But like, yeah. So I was like, oh. Oh, okay. But beyond that, I end up having, I think what happened is they connected all these individual servers and then some of those servers would go down, but they wouldn't actually reboot themselves for some strange reason or something would happen. So that was the bigger problems people were seeing over the weekend, especially myself. I would have an issue where I would even get like a 30K, I would get booted to menu, like a 30K. It wasn't even trying to reboot itself. It would just kick back to menu and disconnect. Mm-hmm. And then when I tried to reconnect, it wouldn't actually connect me back to the actual same server. Like I couldn't get back in. I would just get an infinite load. And I think because it was connecting me to a server that was in the process of dying.
Yeah.
And so it didn't know what to do at that point. So there is a lot of rough issues with that. There was problems where stuff was being streamed out while players were actually in the game still. Like at one point I had gotten in, I was in my hab in Area 18. I was in a bed that didn't exist and everybody else was sitting in chairs in beds that didn't exist in their habs floating in the air. Other people in the chat were reporting that like they were falling to the center of Orison because Orison just didn't spawn. These were the issues I was initially expecting in our first server meshing test.
Right.
But then CIG was like, let's open the taps. Let's actually break it and get some real valuable data. And they certainly did. And CIG has been hard at work at it all weekend. Normally they're usually off on the weekends, but this weekend they've been hard at work doing a lot of hot fixes in the background. And like last night was pretty stable for me. I was able to get in and really see like what it is like currently like in its current functional form without too many like issues where the server's not like actually functioning properly. And there's like small issues here and there. Like what happens is there's like an authoritative takeover every time you go between servers.
Yeah.
And those servers are supposed to then like basically have authority over like what it sees in that area and your ships and stuff like that. And currently right now there's like a really long pause in between the handshake between servers. So you'll quantum and then you'll stop. And then you have no control over your ship and you're just stuck there. And then you have control again. Then you can quantum again off. So like there's these weird little things they got to work on. But to tie that back around to like how that actually works in terms of performance is incredible, right? So a lot of you all out there know how terrible the servers perform when it comes to like putting items on your character, say, for example, right? Like if you, I don't know, put armor on your character or even just buy stuff at a shop, how there's like this weird delay to everything.
God, yeah,
things all slow down. Now, I always personally thought that that was like back end stuff. Like that was stuff that wasn't necessarily tied to the frame rate of the server, but it actually is tied to the server itself too, because in the, or at least I think it is, I could be completely wrong. I'm not a network engineer, folks. I'm just kind of spitballing here.
Yeah. Go check out episode 136 for that.
Exactly. nice plug. I love it. I should probably actually consult that as well too, because I do need to catch back up on a lot of this stuff there. But yeah, for sure. So one of the things I noticed during the server meshing test is how snappy purchasing things was. Like you would click like quick buy and it literally done. You're not clicking there waiting for like a little spinny thing and then it goes. And then when you try to buy something else, it kicks you out because you're going a little too fast in the other transaction. Like there's weird little things that you see that you notice is like a lot snappier. And there's also things like AI. That's another huge one. And one of the big things I've noticed with AI is like, I've always been a big proponent of letting people know that AI are not dumb. A lot of people are like, well, Star Citizen's AI is like super dumb. No, it's not. The AI is actually pretty competent, pretty decent. The problem is the servers hold them back because the low frame rate of the servers causes the AI to have less ability to react as normally as any other person would. They just don't have the time to react. And one of the things we noticed last night in our testing is we had gone to Selen. We found a drug bunker. We had to find it by hand because we couldn't, there's issues with like quantum markers missing and stuff like that currently. Mm-hmm. That's all could be fixed. But we went to a drug bunker and the server we were on only had 8 other players. So I'm assuming that's the one that was covering Selen, had only 8 players in that area. 30 that's FPS. So cool. Went into a bunker. And we're getting into actual firefights with AI where we had to actually take cover and return fire. We were getting injured. We were getting hit. We were trying to heal each other, pulling guys out of, you know, the fire. This is the stuff that CIG had promised us, but we just don't see it now currently because of the server performance. And that is the big thing that I think a lot of people are going to, at least tangibly in the near future, going to see that's going to be the biggest improvement.
Yeah, I was hesitant. I made a video about server meshing a couple weeks ago, and in that video, I did say that there are performance improvements to be had from this. I don't know how clear they'll be to the average player when they happen, and I'm so glad. Like I'm so happy to hear that it's such a This is closed, small tests, totally understand, first iteration, things can always go a different way. But to see how much of a performance improvement there is from this, just with the first test, is so good. Because like you said, man, the server FPS has just ham-fisted this game for the longest time, especially with AI, but also with things like loading ships, loading items, like you said, shooting things even sometimes, like you just, it doesn't work correctly. And a lot of that has been tied to how data is transferred. And with server meshing, it sounds like it's going a lot better. So you just saw consistent 30 frames per second on the server frames per second, right? Not the client side.
Yeah, server frame. So for those of you at home that don't already know, so the target frame rate for the server that CIG is aiming for is 30 FPS. Now, we don't know if they're planning on improving that or not. It seems like 30 is like the kind of definite they're trying to go for now. Probably the best way to conserve data and just keep things in a more consistent manner. Maybe I assume they're probably looking at options, but right now currently 30 FPS is what they're looking for. And that is what everything operates on. That's how the AI gets their instructions. That's how a lot of the backend services also get their instructions. Everything is built upon that. And I mean, just an example, how many of you folks have played with friends? And you've all wanted to go onto your friend's ship or whatever, you run into an elevator with more than 2 people and just chaos happens, right? So you all run into the elevator together. People are getting thrown out of the elevator. Now they're getting pushed everywhere. People are, oh, my arm is hurt. Now what's going on here? That is a consequence of low server FPS. So the server has to do what's called interpolation in between the frames, and it has to kind of guess what's going on. It doesn't have enough data to work with because the server frame rate is so low. So what happens is it guesses. So your friend may just walk into the elevator with you at a decently slow pace and not even walking at you, but the server doesn't know what's going on in between you, what you see on your client, and where you actually are in the game world. So it has to kind of guess. And then what happens is you have your character like shoot off and teleport all over the place. So you're moving at high velocities when you're technically not on your client. This causes you to bump into your friend. Your friend gets pushed out of the elevator and now he's falling to his doom on Orison or wherever you're at, right? These are just like the small examples. And I'm sure everybody has seen this to some degree or another, right? Getting pushed around by the players and stuff. Friendly fire stuff.
Yeah.
When we used to do a lot of bunkers in our org, one of the issues we always had was We call it people doing the pee-pee dance, right? You ever seen that where people just stop moving and they just start doing like a little dance and then they teleport away?
Yeah.
Again, that's all because the server is stalling in that moment, right? So the server is stalling. So everybody just sits there doing a pee-pee dance and then they teleport when the server catches back up. But during that time, it takes the client's word for it on a few things here and there. So if your friend is still in front of you doing a dance and then you shoot him anyway, despite the fact that the server hasn't received that data yet, it will say, oh, the client said it shot him. Oh, really? Okay, well, I'm going to apply damage to him then, even though your friend just teleported, you know, 20 feet away. Yeah. So there's weird stuff here and there. And the fact that this gets addressed with server meshing, because now the load is taken off of one server and is now being put onto these individual smaller servers, just makes the overall performance just feel so much better. It's an entirely different game, folks. I can't begin to describe to you how different the game is. Not even just FPS, but even dogfighting, right? If you're a competent dogfighter and you do bounties, the AI are just pushovers. They can't hit you very easily. They're not very good at dodging. They're just not that good, right? But the reason, again, is because their instructions are delayed because of the server FPS being so low. When you have the server FPS being high, the AI can do almost anything in this game. I think in your previous one where you had Yogi on with A1, he was talking about how like they can push the AI so hard to the point that the AI will literally just backstrafe you to death. Like they have the ability to 100% control their ship better than any human can.
Yeah.
So even though they're operating under the same rules, they can do stuff that players can't. So they could definitely make it harder, but because the lack of instruction and the time in between that and whatnot, and the interpolation having to go on, they look incompetent. They look like they can't do much, right? But now with the tick rate being a lot higher and more consistent, they actually can put up a fight and they could actually give you a run for your money now, which is actually really, really fun. And I can't wait to see.
Yeah. And this affects mining when you're mining rocks and like the thing is glitchy and it's all weird. A lot of that time is because things are not getting communicated smoothly between you and the server. This can go for cargo hauling when you're like snapping a box to a grid and like you snap it, but then the game suddenly shows that the box is still floating and you're like, did I snap it or is it floating? Where is it? And then it suddenly, boom, the two boxes disappear and you can tell where the box actually is. Like all those little tiny things that happen, even as simple as, like you said, buying something at the store. People have been screaming for optimization. This game runs terribly. It's unoptimized. And then the comeback to that is, well, it's an alpha. They don't want to fix the bugs because the bugs pop back up. They want to wait till things get more stable and understood before they can start to polish things off. And this is like, we're reaching that point. This is the biggest performance and optimization thing I think they've done for the game yet. And that's not even touching on the fact that we've got the Vulkan renderer coming in. We've got, you know, upscaling coming in, frame interpolation. Like a lot of stuff is getting into this game likely this year that's going to make it perform night and day to what we're used to.
Yeah, and all the new features that they add into it are also going to add additional strain to the servers. So server meshing, the fact that they were working pretty hard even just this weekend to just like hotfix, gather data, hotfix, gather data, hotfix, and try to get it to a more stable state before they move on to another milestone or anything like that, shows that they really, really want to get it into backers' hands sooner rather than later. And of course, again, that's because the inclusion of new technologies coming in for each patch is always going to start to probably put additional strain on anything else going on with the main server. Because again, everything is just governed by one server currently on live right now.
Yeah.
So if you start to put in new services, you start to put in new technology, there's always a chance that could potentially cause some additional performance issues. Now, of course, they do optimizations. They do everything they need to work within what they have. But what they have is what they have right now. There's only so much they can do running off one server. If they can drop that and share the load a little bit, that makes it much more easier to work with bug fixing and triaging individual systems, as well as making it easier for just making it easier overall, just making things more believable and not break in our face all the time, right? Mm.
I was just going to say, it reminds me of phone companies. They'll tout how we've got a bigger battery. It's 25% bigger battery. And then they're like, but our screen gets brighter. Like,
yeah,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we have an HDR screen now. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something that there is going to be tangibility initially to it. Not just in terms of like how we interact with it. There may be weird issues here. And there's definitely going to be teething issues even when they go live with it. I'm 100% certain of that. It's definitely not going to be perfect, but you will see at least tangible benefits for certain as long as they got it down pat in terms of like just everything. Like you said, the mining, right? Like, probably one of the main reasons why I stopped personally doing a lot of mining was because of the lagginess with the mining, like the actual charge rates and stuff like that. Because they make mining sometimes a little bit challenging depending on the stuff you put on it, right? And it really requires skill, but all that skill doesn't matter if the server is stalled, right? It doesn't matter. Like, and they've tried to do stuff like to kind of like decouple it a little bit more, like they've done with AI, and try to make it a little bit more easier and a little bit like not as punishing in terms of like what happens when the server goes bad or starts to have issues, but it's still there and it still causes problems.
Yeah.
And it's going to be nice to see, not necessarily that being a silver bullet. I want people to be aware that this is not going to be a 100% silver bullet that's going to fix everything that you see in Star Citizen. There's still other things that have to be addressed as well too. Gameplay wise, mechanic wise, just bugs in general that have to be addressed. Right. But it is going to smooth a lot of the gameplay over, and that quality of life is stuff that I've been waiting for personally for a long time and am really excited for.
Same here. Let's talk about the different understandings of server meshing. A lot of the games that use server meshing right now, or even the idea you would have for server meshing, I think naturally is that you go through a jump point and then you're in a different server. That was the way the first test was run. I think that's the most basic form of it. Now we're seeing this test where there is no solid transfer between servers. It's kind of just out there in dead space. You might end up in one server, you might end up in another. You're just kind of flying. The difference between those, do you think that, well, that first version with just the jump points, did that feel significant to you, or did it kind of just feel like you were playing the same game?
I mean, it did, of course, feel like we were playing the same game only because it was the same build that we're used to. The main difference, of course, was that a jump point was functional. So that was the big change and the big, you know, ooh, here's something new here to try out. And I think like in terms of like how it played out, right, how it actually carried through where you were actually going from one point to another into another system, even in its early basic form of just like, this little gray blob and players just flying through this, like kind of not even really, really fleshed out visual effects of a jump gate, still was really cool. Like I mentioned it in my previous video where I talked about it, my Evocati playtest of it and my experience with it, that it felt like part of what I do a lot, you guys already know, is I watch a lot of people take off and landing because there's a beating heart of Star Citizen that exists currently right now that nobody ever gets to see ever. It's just the way it is right now. Currently, it's just not, there's not always a lot of players. And if there is, nobody really pays attention to it because everybody's doing their own thing, right?
Yeah.
But when you sit down and you pay attention to it, it is fascinating, right? And my testing of the jumping from Stanton to Pyro and back and stuff like that really showed that beating heart again in a much more tangible way. It was so crazy flying to a jump gate, seeing all these players just lining up and getting ready to jump to Pyro and all getting ready to just take off and go into an adventure in Pyro and then potentially come back and make a round trip. Right. And even then it was all placeholder stuff. Nothing was finalized. Everything looked like doo doo, but it was still really cool. And it was just an interesting way of like looking at Star Citizen in a different way. I think I even saw somebody in my comments say like, are you planning on watching people go through the jump gates? Like as you do with the takeoff and landings, I might, because it looks really cool. Like even in that early state, that looks really cool. Watching people just like fly up to the jump gate, get sucked in, and then they're gone. They're off and off on an adventure. And then if you stay at the other side, you can watch people just get spit out at high speeds. Now, obviously, that's not going to be probably the final version. They're probably going to tweak that. That's just all for testing. But still, in regards to what we saw there, where it was two servers connected and just the handshake was just going between the tunnel and then coming out the other side, despite it being so basic, it was still really cool to see that function and provide another, like, again, a visualization of Star Citizen's beating heart that you can physically see. And that was just with players. Imagine when they actually introduce AI, right? Because we're supposed to have AI traders and stuff like that. AI, there's supposed to be a lot more AI running around. The reason why we don't see that, of course, is because the load servers is just all tied to one server. And with server meshing, they have more options now. They can start to spawn AI that are doing training, right? They could have like caterpillars like flying around instead of them just teleporting in and be like, oh, I need help, please help. You know, like they do now currently where they just like dynamically asking you for help, or they come in, or they're just security that comes in and scans you while you're PVPing because they'd like to do that for some reason.
And then never stop. They just sit there for
Yeah, they just sit there the entire time. But like to see beyond that, right, having AI that are actually carrying cargo with them that will then go to Pyro, or they're going to go to Nyx, or they go to Magnus or wherever like that. And you can physically watch them come and go as well as players too. That's going to be a huge, huge change. And like, it's, again, it's showing that beating heart of the game as it's slowly forming, which is something that, like I said, we haven't seen quite yet, but it is there and it is growing and it's becoming more visible as time goes on.
It is one of the most desired things in the game for me, myself personally. You might hear Call to Prayer in the background, everybody. Just showing up to a space station and seeing cargo haulers just kind of like, and not players. We're crazy. We are insane people. Okay, we fly at these space stations at 400 meters per second. We break at the last second. We overshoot them and swing around and like all this stuff, right? And it's going to be so nice to just see multiple AI coming in and out of space stations in coordinated fashion, as you'd expect in like a sci-fi film, and being able to live amongst that. And that kind of ability for them to start adding more AI in places, like you said, is it's so freaking important. And that's a product of this second static server meshing test we've been doing, right? So the first one, they had basically one server running both systems, which, yes, allowed us to have two systems to jump between. But this one is the significant one because they're splitting the whole system into multiple servers, right? That's the real performance boost. What's the most amount of players you saw in a shard?
I think I was outside the testing windows for when they were trying to do like the 800 player tests. I know that there were some screenshots floating around of people showing like over 700 or something like that. I think that was like the biggest one they got. Because again, as during those tests, I had trouble actually getting in. It just wouldn't let me in. I would just get infinite loads. Mm-hmm. And at some point they fixed a lot of that. They hot fixed it and I was able to get in. I think the one I got into was like around 120, which is already beyond what we have now. Right. So I think the max we can usually generally get is like what, 100 and something like that. Sometimes it changes like every now and then. So
yeah,
I sometimes see it like drop to like 96. It's weird. I think they dynamically tweak things, but like I saw it was like 120, 130. But you don't even notice that still, despite the fact that it's so full, because just how large the systems are. So it's probably crazy. Like, I wish I was able to see at the peak. I know there's going to be another peak test going on later today at 1900 UTC, I believe it is. They think there's going to be another peak test.
I think it's 1600 or 1800.
Is it 16? 18? Yeah, one of those times. But it's on Spectrum, folks. You can check it out. Yeah. I'm going to try to see if I can get there. Hopefully these servers will behave. We'll see. And I would love to see like what that looks like. Cause I would really love to see an Orison or an Area 18 with like 100 people like trying to take off and land. Like that would be insane. You know,
I wondered to myself, like what's the right amount? You know, we've been talking for the longest time about how big are these shards going to be? How many servers are going to have in a system? How many people should be in a system? Every system is a different size. There might be different things going on in that system. What is the right amount of players to be in a system, and how does CIG manage that? Because I was seeing some people talking about, oh yeah, I was in a 700 player server and it felt like there were too many people. It felt like there should be probably 500 people per server or something like that, or per system. And I'm thinking, that sounds really small. There's a lot of space in these servers, but at the same time, if there aren't enough points of interest and stuff, it will start to feel really crowded because you have to like accommodate for the fact that space is big and you want people to run into each other. But you also don't want them to group up at the exact same places all the time. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think this is of course why they're doing this test. They want to see like where they can break things and also where they think the game really would fit the best in terms of like what should individual servers have. I don't purport to know any of the answers to that. Like I have no idea how they're going to check that. Like, is there actually going to be limitations on that? For example, like what do you do if 2000 players all decide to get together and do an event and fly to Area 18? Like, and the server only has like an 800 player limit. Does it just then go, nope? No, I probably assume it would just put you in a different shard. So there's all kinds of weird stuff they have to figure out. And I'm sure they're already doing like loads of testing and trying in like tons of like meetings, trying to figure things out and plan things out. So I'm curious of how that's going to go forward. But in terms of how it is now, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Personally, the main thing that scares me is not the performance of the server, but the performance of the game. When you have all these like hundreds of detailed spaceships, like now taking off from spaceports, my frame rates, like my graphics card is already probably crying right now, just thinking about it. Like, then this is why I'm excited for the Vulkan API and a bunch of like the improvements to the render optimization, because I really would like to see that be a reality, but not also, you know, set my GPU on fire at the same time. And one thing, I had a conversation with a few org members of mine in the Forgotten Heralds, and we had a conversation about like, what does it mean going forward having this many players, right? This is going to make things so crowded. It's going to be so weird to see, right? How are they going to actually control like a spaceport? And I think what they're going to probably do is, you guys remember when they used to have you called in ATC to land and it would create a tunnel for you?
Yeah.
I know everybody hated that because it was not always working properly, right? But they still have the technology for that. They still worked on it. The code is still there. They can put it in. I'm wondering if that's going to have to make a comeback with this many players, right? Like, if you have like 100 players coming and going from a spaceport, that's chaos. And if players are just flying around, as much as I love it, I love flying around spaceports freely, that's going to be really dangerous. Just doing it just completely free will, and just people are going to be crashing into each other, not paying attention. There's going to be a lot of weird stuff there. And I'm wondering if that is a consideration to bring it back. I'm sure they're probably not immediately going to. They're going to sit there and watch, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if that does become a problem, they may have to flip that switch. I hope they don't, because I love the freedom of flying through there. But if players are having trouble navigating and they're crashing into NPCs and other players and stuff like that, they may have to create some order to the chaos.
Right? Just throw those people in prison.
They'll yeah, exactly. Right.
That is true, though. One of the things I'm really excited for with larger player counts in this game is something that's really annoyed me this whole time. And it's, you shouldn't have to fly a spaceship to play Star Citizen. I know that sounds like heresy to some people, but this is a game where they're focusing on the FPS experience. They're focusing on a lot of different gameplay that's not tied to ships. And honestly, I believe that you as a player should be able to get where you need to go without flying. And one of the problems with that is like, you put out a transport beacon and most people are just too far to want to come and get you. Same with medical beacons, probably the same with refueling beacons if we had them. And having a real population in these systems makes those kind of emergent and player focused services so much more legitimate, and I think we'll open up the game to a lot of different types of gameplay.
Yeah, and even then, like they've said before, if players are not interested in doing that because there's just not enough players around to help you with your transport beacon, they can create AI that will then do that for you, right? That was the idea that they pitched at some point, was that AI would backfill stuff players don't do. That was just like kind of like the idea, like, if you put out a transport beacon and you have 200 players around you in your same shard or whatever that you're in, and none of them care, and you're just sitting there for like, you know, a good solid few minutes and nothing happens, you know, Joe Schmo AI will take you in his freelancer. He accepts the contract, comes in and lands, picks you up and takes you where you need to go. And now, again, of course, the reason why we don't have that now is because the adding additional AI, and of course, you know, I'm sure all the tech is there for it, but the problem is the additional elements of adding new things in continues to add stress to the servers. And of course, if the server's not doing well, Joe Schmo is probably going to spawn in and then just stay there for like 20 minutes and not do anything because he has no idea what to do. And he's just stuck there, you know.
There's also the elephant in the room known as the quantum simulation that we're waiting for. Mm-hmm. But that's my favorite part of it. You know, this isn't a player run game. This is a 9 AI to 1 player ratio, no matter where you are. Pyro might be Stanton is a super popular system. You get 5,000 players out there, you get 45,000 AI, right? Pyro is a less populated system. You get 100 players there, you get a 900 AI. Like the idea that, man, I was really off with that first ratio. The idea that that the probability of somebody being there will pick up for the lack of players is, I think, I think that goes a long way to not pacify, but like comfort a solo player. I love the multiplayer, but I also like to go out solo. And I know a lot of people want to live in this universe and kind of still solo it. And the idea that you don't have to have somebody you can depend on always there is an AI that might be able to pick up after you, I think is a pretty cool part of that simulation. And another benefit of server meshing actually working.
Yeah, exactly. And I think probably I think that's probably one of the biggest draws that Elite Dangerous had, beyond just like it having like a really cool theme and the idea that you can go around an entire like almost one-to-one essential, you know, Milky Way replica, essentially, or recreation, I should say. Like, that's a really cool element, so you can explore around. But the idea that also it was a multiplayer game, but that was still also had a very single player feel to it. There were still other things you could do, even if you were in the far flung reaches of the galaxy. You could go in, go to a space station and trade. There'd be AI there. They could fight. They could also be trading and stuff like that. So you're still existing in this living, breathing universe, but players weren't necessarily part of the equation in that. They just kind of were the exception to the norm. And I think mm-hmm. Star Citizen is trying to kind of also achieve that to many degrees, because we're going to have tons of systems eventually. And if you have, 10,000 players at any given moment, they're not all going to be in Stanton, right? They're all going to be spread out. Like, the distribution of population is naturally going to go all over the place over time. So you're not going to have the same level amount of players as you might even be used to now. You could be in the Nyx system, and it may be you and maybe five other guys who are there. Maybe one guy is doing some mining, just trying to find some rocks. Another guy is just kind of passing through. And another guy is just doing some trading, and you decide you want to come in. You only notice those guys. But you'll see hundreds of other NPCs moving back and forth during that time. And they're kind of backfilling because they're doing, it just as a reminder, folks, like the Quanta simulation, the idea that they get virtualized AI, meaning that they are being simulated in the background. And then when you get around them, like you're in the area they're supposed to be, they then turn physicalized. This is also going to be part of that, right? You'll see Joe Schmo, who picked you up last week, you know, in his Freelancer, is now doing trading in the Nyx system. He hasn't gotten blown up yet.
He's all over the place.
Yeah, Joe is he's just doing his thing, man. You know, he's just doing his thing. And then when you're not there, nobody else is around there, he's in the background doing his thing. He's just just data going back and forth, being simulated. And then when you show up, he actually gets spawned in and he's now doing his thing. He's maybe moving another player, or he's moving cargo. He's doing something, right? And that's going to be quite cool to see, and I can't wait.
Quick sidetrack, because we did talk about it, and I think I'm going to probably do a pretty big video on this coming up here soon. We haven't heard about the quantum simulation in a while, and I think most of us still assume that it's the plan, but does that ring weird to you? It's been, I think this November it will be the 2 years since the last major update on the system, and that's following our first update in the game, where we were told that we were going to get, subsequent updates every patch after that. So something has kind of happened with Quantum, it seems, that maybe has made it take longer. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I guess, again, it's completely uneducated and without any knowledge whatsoever. My guess is that they're waiting to see what server meshing brings about before they can start really expanding it. Because again, that's still part of it, right? The internal simulation and then the back-end simulation beyond that too. I'm sure they're still working on it. And they haven't told us they're not. So there's really hardly any way to actually know what is actually going on. Yeah.
Like, don't iCache with us with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm curious to see. I'm wondering if like this Citizen Con will see more of that. Like, that's an interesting thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I really think. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because I don't think it's going to be Squadron 42 focused as Citizen Con. I think it's going to be completely Persistent Universe focused, personally.
I really did think that during that engine demonstration during last Citizen Con, where they went over all like the hair and the clouds and water and damage and all that stuff, I thought one of those sections would be economy, but it seems they're not ready. And I think actually there was an update, like a really small update last year, where they said that it's just the simulation isn't big enough to utilize quantum in the correct way, which I get. It would just be nice to hear a little more about it. And I know they probably said everything they have to say about it, but it never hurts, I think, to reiterate on this stuff, because CIG's got a lot of stuff in their past that normal players aren't going to go back and find. And with 2 years behind us since that's been presented last, I mean, that's potentially hundreds of thousands of players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering if that... I'm kind of curious. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Is like, there's a lot of people who are joining into Star Citizen now, currently. Many of you watching, I'm sure, probably have only gotten into it maybe within the last couple of years, or maybe even just recent, more recent than that, right? And I'm curious as to how many of those people actually know about the overall history in terms of like what CIG had planned and how things didn't always work out the way it was and how things fell through and what that means now in comparison now, how things are changing, right? So if you're a new player jumping in now and you're just seeing, hey, here's engineering gameplay, going to be in experimental mode. Here's like a new change to the flight model, here's all these cool changes, here's the cargo update, and then you just jump into 323, like that's your first patch or something like that. You have no context about like how long it took to get to that point, right? Now, probably nobody really honestly cares. They just want to play a video game at the end of the day. But still, like, a lot of people like generally were turned off to Star Citizen because of the controversy of how long it took, as well as how much money the game was making, right? It was making money hand over fist. And at the end of the day, like, there was not as much tangible progress as people would like because, well, at the end of the day, Rome isn't built in a day. It takes a long time. And even to get to this point, server meshing is still taking a while. And I'm wondering, like, if people can contextualize that, like, if they're even, like, able to, like, is that really going to be a negative that people don't know how long it took to get to this point? Or if they, I don't really think it really matters, though.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think most people will care.
Yeah, I don't think people care. They just want to see the game, right?
Yeah.
Like for example, Angry Joe, you know, he's was famously like for a while, a long time ago, was like a supporter of the game, and then basically was like, all right, screw it, I'm done with this. It's taking too long. I don't care. I'm just gonna throw it in the back burner and just never talk about it ever again, never play it ever again, right? And his like idea that he was talking about was like, I don't really care until you show me something that's like a game. And like here it is right here. Like, I mean, of course, there's more things to be added, like progression, like more deeper progression systems, stuff like that. But it is more tangibly time, over the last few years, become more and more of a game. How much of a game is dependent on what you consider to be a game, right? Yep. I guess we could split hairs on that. But ultimately, like if you're a new player jumping in now, you're like, dang, this is cool. There's a lot of stuff I can sink my teeth into, you know?
We'll see how the conversation changes. I think for some people, it's already changed since CitizenCon. But honestly, there's a lot of the same sort of rhetoric surrounding this. A lot of it comes down to the fact that like they offer high priced game packages, or that there has just been a lot of money involved. And then you look at, you know, their net profit in a year and it's like $8 million. It's compared to the $100 million that they're spending in that year. It's clear that there is a cash flow. It's not just like a reserve that's getting filled up in the back. So there's definitely like, however much of that ends up becoming more front-facing information for people, I think will change the conversation. But ultimately, dude, I think when this game is good, people aren't going to care at all. Like, nobody's going to look at GTA 6 when it comes out and be like, man, this took like 8 to 10 years to make and so much money. They're going to play the game and they're going to decide whether they like it or not. And a lot of people will come out and say like, oh, this isn't worth the time it took. This isn't worth the money it took. But we're talking about the 80% of people who jump into a game because they saw that game and they're interested in it. I think that's, that argument is going to slowly go away. And not to say that it's not a problem. Like, we shouldn't ignore the fact that this game and this project had management issues. They had a lot of really, really ridiculously bad deadlines that were set publicly. They told us a lot of things that did not happen the way we expected. All that stuff's absolutely true. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's going to matter as much to a lot of people. Like, a lot of these people who put out feedback and comments will be like, ah, it's been 12 years and it's super glitchy and I can't reload my gun and the AI sucks. And it's like, okay, well, what if in one month an update comes out that fixes all that? Are you still going to complain that it's been 12 years, or are you going to say, oh, well, it's fixed. Why does that matter? Not to excuse the time. It's just like, that can all change from just a couple of features shifting in the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, again, yeah, exactly. People just want to see what they can play now and is it good? And that's all they care about. That's like the first thing they see in front of them. Like, there's a game I love playing called Project Zomboid. That game has been around as long as Star Citizen has been. And it is considered today to be probably the best zombie simulation you'll ever play. I'm pretty sure it's just like you can do client-based hosting servering and that, and you can do dedicated as well. I don't believe they do server meshing on that. I don't know if they have any plans for that. That game is incredible because of just how detailed it is. It's its own simulation as well, too. That's why people say it's the best zombie simulator that exists. It's not the greatest looking. It's not going to win any, you know, graphics awards. It still looks great and it's a very charming game. But even for an isometric, you know, largely 2D based game, it still took them from largely when Star Citizen started to where it is now to get where it is. And it's still considered an early access game. I think it still has the early access tag, despite being around for so long. And This is because when you're trying to build something so huge and in depth and with a lot of moving parts, it is not something that's going to happen within a 2-year window or a 4-year window. This is why when you play like a AAA game, you look at it and you're like, there's not as much as you can sink your teeth into as say like a sim game like DCS, right? Or even Elite Dangerous. There's like not as many moving parts if you really look at underneath the surface, not as many. Like I've been playing a lot of Dragon's Dogma recently. I really enjoy that game. It's really fun. It's not necessarily like Elden Ring quite, but it's quite up there. It's pretty good, right? But it also doesn't have as many like as sim aspects to it that you would expect because it's a game that had a development window of probably like 4 years, maybe 5 years or something like that. They set out to do this very narrow design that they wanted to work towards and they worked towards it. They put out the game and it's done. Now there you go. Cool. It's great. But a game like Star Citizen and a game like Project Zomboid or even a game like Tarkov, they have huge ambitions and those huge ambitions take a long time to work towards because there's just so many moving parts that have to be developed. They have to be tested. They have to be given to the player's hands. They have to do feedback. They have to reiterate. There's so many things that have to go into it. And there is, it's weird because we're kind of like in this era now of like long form game development where games are no longer really expected to be 1.0 out of the box anymore. They're expected to, even AAA games, right? We get AAA games that are just like half baked releases.
The on time releases, just, early access.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And it's like, it's weird to see now, but I mean, even the AAA industry realized like they can't always put everything together within a very tight 2 to 4 year window or anything like that, that people expect. And which is why Red Dead Redemption took a long time to make. This is why GTA 6 took a long time to make. Nobody sees that because they just see the final product, right? They just see the game in their library. They play it. Cool. But they don't see the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that went into it. Whereas Star Citizen and many of these other indie games are doing right now, they are just putting it front and center. Like, here it is. It's not done, but we're working on it, you know? And that leaves it open to a lot of criticism. So it's a double-edged sword, you know? And one thing I've noticed on my channel over time is that there was a lot, when I was first starting out, there was a ton of cynicism. So I get a lot of comments. I saw comments, people are like, I'm just going to download any video about Star Citizen. I hate this stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, just random people just getting, you know, recommended the video, watch it. Yeah, exactly. They would get recommended the video and then they're commenting like, I can't, but why are you covering the scam of a game, blah, 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 this and that. And then as time moved on, those cynical comments moved away as my audience started to kind of like solidify a little bit more. But even as it gets recommended to newer people, I don't get as many of those cynical comments. I don't know if it's different for you, Tomato, if you've seen that as well, but I've noticed that the cynicism has largely dried up because I think it's a lot more public to easily just kind of see where the game is at now and be like, oh, there's a game here.
Yeah, I would say with normal videos, it's comments have turned. I would say when a video is sitting squarely in the Star Citizen community, the comments have definitely shifted over the last couple of years. Over the last like 5 years, they really like they started to get more animosity to them. And then lately they've kind of started to get a little bit more positive. Overall, there are plenty of positive comments all the time, but like these are we're specifically talking about the ones that are a little more intense. When the video gets outside of the Star Citizen community, and you can kind of tell it's getting a little bigger, getting more random viewers in there, that's when the comments are still the same. And it's funny because people will comment things that like you answered on your last video or something, or like have been answered already, and you'll see these comments that are just wildly outdated, or you come back to them in a couple of months and you're like, this did not age well. But definitely less overall, I would say. Yeah,
I mean, of course it's not scientific or anything like that, but I mean there is sentiment that we can go by based off of with our own analytics and whatnot. And yeah, it definitely feels like there's definitely a small change there, but because like there was always like a lot of misinformation about the game because people kind of existed in their own bubble. They're willing to kind of be in like a bubble of accepting information from one source and then applying that directly to the entire community. Like a lot of times back in the past, people were like, why is this Star Citizen game making so much money? Like, why are people giving Chris Roberts all this money? Like, there's no game to play. Why? But the reality is when people, even in like way back in like 3.0 and stuff like that, the idea that you could just buy a game package, load up your ship, walk around this high fidelity, beautiful looking ship, get into it, start to take off. And even though there was no game necessarily to play, you could fly around, you could do maybe a couple missions here and there, right? Especially when 3.0, the frame rate was terrible. It was still the inkling, the imagined tech was hard at work there, right? Your mind was going like, oh my God, I can't wait till they do this. I can't wait till they start adding this. This is so cool, right? And that right there is like the spark that really draws people in and makes them excited for the game, is why people are willing to part with their money. People are always willing to part with their money with things they love and enjoy. And one of the things that I think that's kind of like the bubble that people exist in when it comes to being outside of Star Citizen, they don't understand why people are willing to actually buy stuff. Why they're willing to spend $150 or $200 on a starship is because they don't actually see the game themselves. They probably don't even consume Star Citizen content. They don't play the game. They just watch a YouTuber say, this game has gotten this much money and it's bad, blah, blah, blah. And then they move on, right? And they're like, okay. And they don't really consume any of that. And then when they see that Star Citizen hit new funding goals, it's over $500 million in funding, they're like, why is anybody giving this game money? And it's like, and then we see the server meshing test. So you can see our side of it, right? We are seeing all these improvements. 323 is around the corner now with an entire change that we are like excited for. I'm excited for the engineering experimental stuff, right? But nobody outside of Star Citizen knows that. They just see the funding goal and that's it. And apparently no game. They think there's no game that exists, right?
Yeah.
Like some people think, don't even realize, like I get a comments in my videos where people are like, I didn't even know you could play the game. I thought it was just like a concept the entire time. It's like, no, you can play it. You can play it right
there's
now.
There's a very good quote from an article from Polygon. This is something that I just included in a video early this year. Well, I guess it's a supporter video last year, so it'll be out this year. It was a quote from the person writing the article, and it says, Star Citizen is much further along than most people would expect, or something like that. And it's like, that captures it so well. It's very simple. It's not much to say that captures it, but it does. Like, Star Citizen is struggling in a lot of places, but that struggle is generally what is more easy to find, in my opinion, than like figuring out what actually makes the game special. So it's a lot easier to just kind of hear that thing and not, I'm not going to look too much into that. Like, I always used, Anthem as an example of my time of being sort of like people who are hate watching stuff. I was a huge BioWare fan. Grew up on their games. KOTOR was my first RPG. Mass Effect really turned me on to sci-fi.
Yes,
and I was pumped for Anthem. I could tell that it wasn't going to be their normal kind of game. I could tell that Mass Effect Andromeda suffered because of it. And I knew that it was like they wanted to do this whole online thing. It was worrying. It was rough. And we knew it wasn't going to be great. But man, it came out and it was just a disappointment. The gameplay itself was super fun, but the game as a whole just fell flat. And I was one of those people who stuck around on the subreddit for like a solid month. I changed my flair to, I'm just here with the popcorn. Like, I was there to see the world burn, man. I was pissed. And I just was like, I was trolly. But it took me like a month maybe before I was like, okay, I'm over this. This is a bit much. And that, I feel like, I don't even remember what my freaking point was. But... but I've had that moment where like you want to, oh, it was that I didn't care. And in that time period, I didn't care to look up what was actually going on with the game. I'll admit that. Like, I heard that there were updates coming out, but I wasn't going into the patch notes to see what they actually were, because overall I still had the idea in my head that the game was trash. And I don't want to disrespect the people who worked on it, but the game wasn't great at that time. And it's very easy to just stick in that mindset, even if there is other stuff coming out about it. So I do kind of get that. But man, the evidence starts to get a little overwhelming at some times. And you don't have to flip all the way over and be an acolyte for whatever this is. But like, do respect, man. There's progress being made. There's real stuff happening. And like, clearly there is a goal being driven towards.
Yeah. And on the Anthem note there, like, there was inklings of stuff that game could have been really good had it been given a lot more time in the oven, honestly. A lot of people said it was like DOA on arrival because it was just flawed from the beginning. I don't necessarily believe that as someone who played it. I thought it was actually pretty fun. There's some elements of it, but it was lacking so much content. There was just not enough there to really hold anybody down. It's not like like even Destiny, right? Like Destiny 1 to Destiny 2 is like a night and day in comparison, right? And that game, that is because Destiny 2, and many people would argue, is because Destiny 2 has so much more content to sink your teeth into. Content is king. It is always going to be king. It is part of the reason why everybody here who's watching this show right now are interested in Star Citizen, because CIG is putting out consistent amounts of content.
But I will say, I'll say that the content is what Star Citizen's been lacking, right? The features, mm-hmm. they're getting together. The universe, yes, it's there. But the content, they've had all these features and they haven't been able to put them into significant content for players. And it feels like that's finally happening with like the, yes. the missions team has come together. They're consolidating into a core gameplay group that is filling out these features. The content team is creating missions at locations that we're getting, like it's actual content coming out. And that's part of the magic, I think, of where we are with Star Citizen right now. It's not all there, but it's getting there.
Yeah, like they like want it to be a sandbox, but it's not technically a sandbox, at least not yet, right? A lot of people think when they think of a sandbox, they think of like a game where you're just popped in and then you do whatever you want. That can be an element of a sandbox game, right? But the reality is a good sandbox game is a game that you can plop in and do whatever what you want with stuff that already exists there for you to play with, right? So if you are in the analogy of a sandbox, you want to have your shovels and your little pails and so you can make your little castles, right? But if that doesn't exist, it's not really a sandbox at that point. There's not much for you to do. And it's the same thing here with the improvements of server meshing, with the addition of new like features like the experimental engineering that's eventually going to be full engineering rolled out to everything, even just master modes and dogfighting. There's like new tools being rolled out for you to kind of expand the sandbox a little bit more. It's not a huge amount because, again, it's just small content, you know, quarter over quarter, but it is something tangible. And hopefully, like when we get towards something like more further with like reputation progression and stuff like that, that's an even bigger thing you can do with your sandbox there. Now you can work your way towards becoming part of a gang or something like that, right? And now you can like start to build like an RP environment, because a lot of people actually enjoy RP in Star Citizen, if you know what RP, role playing, right? Some people just like it for the sim aspect, dogfighting, having fun. But roleplay is a significant aspect that a lot of people enjoy as well, too. And some people, maybe they just want to roleplay being a Headhunters gang member, right? They want to go out there or be part of the a gang member in Pyro. They want to work towards their reputation and make their character have all the cool tattoos and stuff like that. And that's something they want to do. That is what they specifically want to do. And they want to roleplay that. And other people are like, I don't care about that. I just want to shoot other players, right? There's just many different aspects of it. And that is kind of like where the sandbox is, right? You build around with the tools the game gives you. But if the tools aren't there yet, it's not quite a sandbox quite yet.
Yeah. Let's go back to the server meshing discussion here before we wrap things up. I want to talk about like the most unique scenarios you think can come from Star Citizen in a server meshed environment. As this game continues on, what are the things that are actually going to set the game apart and make people look at scenarios and be like, oh, crap, look what you can do in Star Citizen? Talking, you know, fleet battles, a lot of people on a ship, whatever gets you more excited for the technology.
Well, what will get people excited in general, especially people who are outside the sphere of what we do here, and those of you that are watching that play the game a lot, what gets people excited about that is just like the ease of just seeing something like in front of you make sense. Let me explain here. I'm kind of like wincing or kind of going through words here a little bit here, but what I'm saying is like what makes people interested in something that they have not seen before is just like how quickly can it draw their attention in, right? CIG are known for doing like a lot of really like flashy marketing and stuff like that. That's well and good for selling ships and stuff like that, but not necessarily for drawing a player into the game. Not quite yet, at least. You have to see gameplay and actual tangible like physical stuff that you can do in the game to get people interested. One of the number one questions I always get from people is, what can you do in the game? And that's a little bit difficult actually to answer. You can answer it in hundreds of different ways because there's a lot of things you can do, but Star Citizen isn't one thing you can do, right? There's a lot you can do. And so that can be a hard question to answer to a new player asking like, what do you actually do in the game? because a lot of people think it is just you exist in a spaceship and you fly around, and not many people are interested in that, as we mentioned before, right? Some people are maybe more interested in the multi-crew aspect. They want someone else to do the flying. Maybe they want to go with a spanner in the back and start hammering at some fuses or something like that. Or maybe they want to be on a space station and be a space janitor. As much as that sounds funny, somebody will want to do that.
Bucket and mop
we
tech.
Have people, yeah, exactly. We have people in our org alone who do nothing but box missions all day. That's all they do. They love doing box missions.
That sounds rough.
They love doing them. Yeah, but yeah, especially because they're always like broken half the time anyway. But some people love that gameplay loop. Every person out there has something they like. Other people may want to do hardcore PvP. Some may want to just do mining. Maybe they just want to get a buggy and just drive around Daymar and find cool things to look at, right? We've already heard like CAG's teasing potentially 323. Maybe we'll see of them putting NPC creatures. I mean, they're teasing it on their social media now. I'm curious as to how that's going to be. Like, they're doing a lot of teasers with that stuff, and there's a lot of people kind of like hush hush talking about it here and there. And I'm wondering, like, if that's going to be a thing. Are they going to be putting like actual creatures for us to check out? And, you know, and some people are just going to spend their entire time looking for packs of space cows. Like, that's going to be a thing. Maybe people are just going to want to fly around space whales, and that's what they're going to do all day. Maybe they're going to want to mine on the back of the space whale, because I know that's going to be a thing they want to do at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and like, not everybody is going to be into space combat. Not everybody's going to be into racing or even FPS combat. They're going to have a little thing here or there they're going to want to do, right? And being able to showcase that quickly, efficiently, and easy is what draws people into the game, right? Like, I had a video on my channel that did really well years ago of me just showing an A2 dropping a bomb. This was like when the A2 first came out, the Hercules A2. And it was showing the mechanical systems of it, loading the bomb up, the doors opening, and then dropping the bomb. And then,
yeah,
and then watching it explode. That's just showing the game right there. Now, it's not exactly like one-to-one exactly what you can expect the game, but that is just a hard and quick example of just showing the game what is in the game now. And people were like, what is this game? This looks so cool. I want to try this out, right? It's the same with mining. It's the same with box hauling. Like, there's so many different things that are going to draw people in. But with the current technology of servers right now, most of the stuff you'll see like on a live stream or a YouTube video is going to be like people like doing pee pee dances, teleporting around, you know, just all kinds of weird glitches and bugs with the servers. So once that not necessarily gets resolved, but at least gets alleviated and fixed and gets like a lot more improved as we get server meshing rolling out and stuff like that, that's going to be a lot easier. It's going to be so cool to just tune into a random Space Tomato stream or a random Salty Mike stream and watching just like the game just humming along as it's supposed to, rather than people teleporting all over the place and killing each other, PP dancing. I'm stuck. I just got revived and now I can't move. Oh, what's going on? Like all kinds of bugs and weird stuff. Yeah, definitely.
I'm very excited to see how the possibility of like a distribution center with a lot of things going on at the same time could be. I don't need to see like 200 players in one place, but like even 20 players scattered throughout a distribution center, just it would make me feel like I'm playing a game like one of my favorites, like a multiplayer Halo match, but in an open-ended environment where those 20 people that I'm playing with could be off, like they could run away. If I'm shooting somebody, they could hop into a dropship, get their players, and fly away, and I can chase them. We could take this battle to orbit or to another planet. Like, to see all that come together, especially in more confined places, like around ground bases or maybe in cities, I think that's what really, once I see that, is going to be like, okay, this sets Star Citizen apart from other games. Mm-hmm. Maybe not from every game, but from most of the ones I've played.
Yeah, and that's the sandbox at work right there. I talked about the beating heart, the sandbox, and the tools it needs for that, right? And that's the same thing here. Let's say you're doing a distribution mission and some other team is coming in, they're maybe moving boxes or they're buying cargo. You're coming in to do a box mission and you pick up your box and you realize, oh man, I need to put this down here because I got to switch some kit out real quick. And then those guys move in, they think that's one of their boxes, they take it. You're like, hey, what are you doing? What's going on here? Stop taking my box. You start chasing them down, right? They're not listening to you. And then all of a sudden you're like getting in your ship, you're trying to shoot at them. Things are going crazy. Like, that's just an example of something weird happening or something fun. But there's a lot more to it. And again, that's the sandbox I'm talking about, where you can have like the tools that can create these kind of weird bespoke moments that happen. Much like how like GTA RP is very popular, right? There's a bunch of tools you can work with there. And GTA RP is really fun because the personalities behind it make it fun, but also because the game itself is really fleshed out and in depth enough that you can create these cool, believable, like just like bespoke moments that happen just completely off the cuff, not scripted or anything like that, yeah. Right? And that's what makes Star Citizen really good. When you see the beating heart working and then you're a part of that beating heart working, it really sets the game apart from anything else out there, in my opinion. Like, there's not really much that can come close to that.
And to finish off the show, these developments with server meshing, specifically with static and the server recovery stuff, and I guess we can also include all of the big fixes coming in 3.23 that we're seeing for a lot of key systems. How does this all make you feel about the rest of the year? What are your predictions? You think we'll see a 4.0 and a 4.1? Do you think like they'll continue to take things slow? Does it feel like they're stacking up the pressure behind server meshing to do something this summer? Like, what's your view of the year ahead now that we've reached this?
I think that they are definitely trying at most to get it out. I don't know if it's going to be summer, but I think they're definitely really going to be trying to get it out before the end of the year, at least the server meshing side of things, because so much is riding on it, right? There's a, like I said before, anytime they add new things, because the servers are not doing well, anytime they add new things, those new things getting added tend to break, right? For example, the SRV, I love the SRV, but it's always so broken and buggy. A lot of that actually has to do with some of the server issues. Server issues tend to kind of break a lot of the tractor beam stuff because of just the way like the calculations and all that nonsense are. But there's also just generic bugs too that annoy it. So a lot of people don't use the SRV anymore. They don't care how to use it. It has problems. But as they put in server meshing in and alleviate some of those issues and concerns, and they start to work through the teething issues, that will also make people like look and expand their mind on what else they want to try out and do stuff, because now the game actually works perfectly fine and worked well. So I think this is like a big priority for them. It's a huge priority because the server issues is way too long standing now at this point. When we had 3.18 come in, everything fell apart, right? We all remember the great calamity of 3.18.
Very clearly, yeah.
And then from then on after 3.18, I mean, even prior to that, I mean, the servers were just never able to just get back to a state that was actually fun to engage with them for long periods of time, right?
Yeah.
And they know that. CIG is not dumb. They know all the issues that we're dealing with. They know all the pain points. A lot of them play the game too. I know a lot of people who are more cynical will say like they don't even play their own game. They do. They absolutely do. I am friends personally with a lot of CIG members here. I have working relationships with some of them as well too. And they do absolutely play the game in their own time. You just don't always see it. And they experience the same pain as we do. They are 100% aware of it. And they are just as excited as we are to get server meshing and to get these problems addressed to some degree. They are just as excited. So yeah.
What do you think happens after that? Let's say 4.0 does land in the summer. What do you think comes after that?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, of course, obviously they're going to try to expand it and try to improve on it, but I think static is going to be the big thing, and then they're going to try to work on dynamic, possibly. We'll see. It really depends on how much trouble the rollout gives them, right? If we get another 3.18 scenario or something like that, which I hope not. Ugh, fingers crossed. But, you know, like, I think that's going to be the big focus, is going to be doing more dynamic meshing right now. Currently, it's just the big focus is static, which just means, you know, servers just sitting there statically and they're just kind of running things in the background. Dynamic means they can spool things on the fly, mm-hmm. right? So they can put one on an Idris, or they can put one on your character if they need to. I don't know if they will, but that's a thing they can do, and they can do it on the fly if they need to. And I think that will probably be like a big focus of them going forward. And maybe we'll start to see more rumblings about the quantum simulation, right?
I hope so.
I'm wondering if they're working in tandem with the server mission guys, because they want to start to get this down pat as quick as possible. All we've ever seen from the quantum stuff in the back was like, hey guys, we're doing some additional simulation stuff for cargo trading.
Yeah, and like that's refuel, like repair kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Refuel, repair, price, and nobody ever really notices.
Nobody notices,
the differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens, it does work, it is changing, but nobody ever really notices nor cares, right? Nothing really matters at that point. And it's, again, a thing that's not tangible that sits in the background. Very important, but just not a thing that anybody sees.
Doesn't matter till it hits commodities and we can actually trade with that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you excited to see then? Like, what would you want to see them work on? I personally hope that we will see both actual system supporting fuel beacons. Honestly, I hope we see a redo to the beacon system so that players can start to assign their own missions, refueling, transport, all that kind of stuff. As we say with server meshing, that's a lot more realistic, and refining gameplay. What are the things that you're hoping server meshing kind of unlocks them to do towards the end of the year?
Goodness. A lot. Geez, like the main thing I would be excited, of course, is just the opening up the floodgates for allowing multi-crew to be a lot more seamless in terms of how it performs. Like currently right now, like everything works well enough, right? And with master modes, it's going to be a lot cooler and stuff like that. But I want them to be able to open up the floodgates for capital ships, right? I want to be able to get into an Idris or even a Javelin. I don't care. Something. Even if it's just a test, I want to be able to functionally get on one a lot, like more than outside of an event. I would love for me to do a Miles Eckhart mission and find, Maltrox, the end boss, which he's in an Idris. And I would like to actually be able to distort maybe, you know, and shut down that Idris and board it with my friends, take it over, and then fly around and, you know, try to do some missions with it or something like that, right? I would love to see a lot more open to larger multi-crew gameplay. And I know this is something that they've been talking about and they've been really, like, kind of thinking about. And that's what really excites me about server meshing, is hopefully that they're going to have a lot more room to work with on that, because the performance is now going to be spread out a little bit more. And hopefully we'll start to see them really start to hammer away more at the other bigger multi-crew ships. Like, how long have we been sitting on the Kraken now? I want to see that in game. I want to see the Kraken. I want to be walking around a Kraken.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, Rome wasn't built in a day, and you know, so it's going to take a while for them to get that. Yeah. But I would love to see, you know, the bigger ships that CAG have been talking about. I want to see an Orion in game. I want to start to see them really start to push things a lot more and start focusing on that stuff too. It's been so long that we've like been on the smaller ships and fighters and stuff, and that's all well and good. But I really want to see bigger industry. I really want to see bigger combat vessels. I really want to see like this game really take it up to the next level and really just go above and beyond, just like, here's some dogfighting ships, and here's a couple like small multi-crew gunships. No, I really want to just start seeing people like doing battles, and I want to see like big mining operations with multiple Orions and stuff. Like, I would really, really love to see that going forward, personally.
Yeah, that's when you start to get to the point where Star Citizen does feel different from other space games. There are plenty of space games out there that do a lot of the certain things that Star Citizen is doing, but like what Hybrid is talking about here is that combination of things that I think are... people are hoping makes it a truly unique experience. Hybrid, thank you so much for joining me today. Appreciate you coming in and giving us some of the commentary on server meshing and your experiences in the testing. But you are also probably working on your own videos and updates on this. Can you tell folks where they can find that stuff after they finish?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you can literally just go on YouTube. It's primarily where I'm at is YouTube right now currently. You can just type in Hybrid V Audio. V as in Victor Audio. And yeah, you can find me on there. My channel is just the HNV on there, so you can easily find me. You can also just type in youtube.com/hybridvaudio as one word, and you can find me there. Currently, yeah, I'm going to be looking at more of the server meshing testing going on today. I do want to try to see if I can get into the peak meshing test and see what kind of like hot fixes they roll out, see if it's like a lot more stable, and really try to dive into that as well. But yeah, doing that. Currently, me watching people taking off and landing stuff is a lot of people who have been watching. That's on a small hiatus for the time being, just taking a small break, just because I want to give people an opportunity to realize they're not being watched, even though I am watching. It's on a small hiatus. It will be back soon. So if you guys are still interested in that stuff, that will be back around as well. But of course, stay tuned for a lot more coverage as well for 323, because I'm going to be sharing a lot of my experiences as well as we get more details as that comes in, and I get to take part in a lot of the Evocati tests, and that should be a lot of fun.
I think a lot of people are thinking back to your video talking about ship audio, realistic ship audio, and probably looking at what happened in CitizenCon this last year and thinking to themselves, wow, Hybrid V Audio just completely changed Star Citizen single-handedly. But no, they're probably looking for a follow-up, right? I'm guessing you have some stuff to say about that. Are you waiting until we hear more, or what's your plans with that?
I plan on doing another one of those. And if you aren't already aware, folks, like one of the things I did was like I did a video called like the Tail Gunner, which is a video where I was like tail gunning in a hammerhead, but I completely replaced all the audio in that with some of it with my own audio and some of it with just in-game audio, but I made it sound like it was actual vacuum of space. So all you were hearing was the reverberations of the hull, the reverberations of the thrusters and stuff like that. And that completely blew up with the community. People enjoyed that. And then CAG later came out and were like, yeah, we want to do that as well. But CAG for a long time have always wanted to do this. And I did that at the time because I wanted to show what that would sound like currently in Star Citizen. And fast forward now, one of the things I want to wait for is Master Modes. And because now we're going to have these really cinematic close-in fights. One of the big issues we had with the Tail Gunner videos was everything was at high-speed combat. So everybody was flying at Mach Chicken around each other. So it wasn't as cool. The combat didn't look as good as it could. But people still loved it. But I want to do it again. But I want to do it in Master Modes, where ships are much closer. It's more cinematic. And you really feel the actual, you know, the violence of the combat and stuff like that. And I want to do one last one before CIG eventually puts it in, because I just want... you know, I just want to do another one just as a good send off and use Master Modes as that. So that'd be pretty fun. So keep an eye out for that. That will be soon TM.
Cool, man. We'll be looking out for it. Thank you, everybody, for watching this podcast. If you're on YouTube, if you're not, thank you for listening. Audio platforms are supported by our supporters, so no ads there if you're looking for the more smooth experience. And if you are a supporter, you can also come join us live. We've got a full room here listening in and chatting alongside. Either way, appreciate y'all checking this out. thank you so much for coming to our podcast. Check out the others on the channel. We've got multiple podcasts. One, I think, is coming out tomorrow with a few players talking about the character customizer. So we're always trying to give you some new content to sink your teeth into. But thank you so much again, Hybrid, for coming on the show and talking with me. And thank you, everybody, for watching. I'll see you all next week.